You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, Buffalo Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. Anthony Marino, happy to be here with you once again, talking everything Buffalo Bills. And here we are, trade deadline day in the NFL, and I know many Buffalo Bills fans were excited coming into this day, thinking, what would Brandon Bean do? Would there be that opportunity where the Buffalo Bills make some moves, right, to maybe address some needs, especially on the defensive side of the ball? And nothing happened. You know, as you kind of look through some of these pieces, I think there was certainly talk. What might the Bills do? Would they address maybe the depth issues at cornerback? Would they look to do something at nickel cornerback? Maybe add some depth at linebacker? Maybe add a one-tech defensive tackle? And there were no moves that were made by Brandon Bean and the Buffalo Bills at this time. And, you know, for you Bills fans, I want to ask you, like, how do you feel about that right now? And I ask that question because I think in many ways, Buffalo Bills fans have been in a little bit of a weird place in some ways when it comes to their feelings around the team right now in many ways. And I say that right for every fan. Like, there's no position for one of us to tell another how they should feel about a win or a loss or any of those pieces, right? I think in many ways it's people are going to respond to games the way they want to. But for me, it was interesting, right? Like, I was certainly, with the game against the Patriots on Sunday, more of a, you know, get the monkey off your back kind of scenario. Of course, the game was closer than I would have liked it to have been. I thought for the weather conditions, I thought for the way that the Patriots were playing defensively against the Bills, I was perfectly fine with the game script, right? Like, I did not look at this in any way, shape, or form and say something was wrong with Josh Allen based on this. The Bills were able to run effectively to see what Zach Moss and Devin Singletary were doing for them to be able to grind out 24 points against the Patriots defense. Again, I was completely fine with it. Josh Allen only throwing 18 passes because of the weather conditions. Maybe the game script was a little bit different in so many situations when you had the Patriots with six or seven defensive backs on the field despite the weather. I mean, what a testament to Josh Allen in many ways, right? Like, despite that they were going to allow the Bills to run, and the Bills sure as hell did, man. Devin Singletary looked great. Zach Moss was running with purpose. I mean, I was all about it. But for me, right, you come away from that game, the Justin Zimmer forcing the fumble on Cam Newton, certainly relieved, right? I mean, honestly, I felt fine with the game up until the pass went through Gabriel Davis's hands. And again, right, they complete that pass. They go up 7 points. You still have to get a stop. You can't allow the Patriots to get a touchdown. But I just felt like, you know, again, and not to just put things on one play, but would fans have felt differently about that? I guess what I'm trying to say is, right, like, I looked at the Jets game where Allen throws for over 300 yards, but they don't really deliver in the red zone, right? So they've 6 field goals, 8 field goal attempts, but they win the game, right? And I didn't look at the Jets game. At no point was I ever worried about that game. Then you look at this game against the Patriots again. You know, they're hanging on longer than you would like to, but it's fine. Like I said, until that point with the Gabriel Davis drop, the ball going through his hands, I mean, I was fine that I really did not feel that the Bills were not going to win that game. You know, for the most part, right, being successful, 4 trips to the red zone, 3 touchdowns, 1 field goal, I was okay. But then you get online afterwards, and it seems like fans were not okay. Even where I did a poll on Twitter, and I mean, I got 159 people weighed in on it, which I think is enough, right, when you talk about a sample size. And roughly 74% were like, hey, a win is a win. I'm good with this. And around 26%, you know, they were not satisfied with the Bills defeating the Patriots on Sunday. And really it came to a number of different things. You know, I'd get feedback that the passing game wasn't proficient enough in this game. I mean, honestly, and again, to me, I was thinking to myself, well, with the weather, I guess I'm not really too surprised. The Bills haven't been able to run the football all year. For them to go heavy with the run, about 65% of their plays, and that to be effective, I mean, I looked at that as one game script of what the Patriots defense was doing, but two, really tying into what the weather looked like, and I was fine with that. I mean, the weekend before, again, would I've liked to seen Allen get a couple of touchdowns, you know, that one to Croft or Gabriel Davis with the penalty? Sure. But he was efficient. He passed for over 300 yards. The Bills won the game. It was fine. You know, the game against the Patriots, I mean, the Bills only win by 3 points. I mean, the spread was 4 points. I'm fine. But again, you know, you go to this and it seemed like people were not fine online. And then it seemed to be that more of an anxiety building up for some as it related to the trade deadline, right? Like that, just do something, just do anything. Gosh, I even heard Joe Biscaglia say that on his podcast, right? Brandon Bean, you just got to do something. And it's like, but as Bruce Nolan said on his podcast last week, like when you say just do something, well, what do you mean by just something, right? Like there were no one-tech defensive tackles that were really traded at the trade deadline that you would look at and say, oh my gosh, the Bills should have done that. There was not. And you look at a lot of these pieces and I do think to myself, right? Like we talk a lot and say, oh my God, the Bills should dominate. They should do this. They should do that. The Bills have plenty of their own injuries that they're dealing with right now, right? You think on the defensive side of the ball, Gerald Butler out of the game on Sunday, certainly one of their more effective defensive tackles, at least playing at the one tech. Micah Hyde, we know what he brings to the team being out. Josh Norman being out, again, a little bit of a toss-up right with him or Levi Wallace. But along those same lines, we know that Quentin Jefferson and especially Matt Milano were both on a pitch count. It's a different looking defense right now in many ways. And you can say to yourself, okay, if Milano comes back healthy and we don't have to see AJ Klein anymore, kind of problem solved. If Butler comes back healthy, he can play the one technique. You can rotate Quentin Jefferson and Ed Oliver at the three technique and kind of doing some different looks. Okay, not bad there. Obviously, Micah Hyde, a difference maker. We know that you need him. And honestly, I'd like to see some more Dane Jackson getting a chance again after a successful game against the New York Jets. But I guess what I'm just trying to say is going back to the question, like, how do you guys feel? And that the Bills did not make a trade at the trade deadline. I mean, I know usually it's kind of exciting and this and that. If they could have added a one technique space eater, right, that kind of can fill that void of Star Latulale that. And it is so funny, man, like how many fans just hated on Star for such a long period of time. And then all of a sudden you get with it and, you know, and here he is out of the lineup and people finally starting to appreciate what it is that he brings to the team. Now, while the Bills did not make a trade, they did make two signings. And again, right, when you look from this standpoint, you know, maybe one of those situations you think to yourself, okay, it's a little bit of a long shot, but if it's one of those pieces that it does work, maybe it can work for you. The first off that was announced yesterday, Darren Lee, the linebacker, signed to the Buffalo Bills practice squad. You know, a lot of you guys remember Lee, right? Super athletic, 20th overall pick in the 2016 draft out of Ohio State. You know, right now, this is one of those pieces when you talk about a player that has an insane level of athleticism. I think he ran like a 4.45 40 at the combine in 2016. You know, you just look at that and think to yourself, like, okay, from that standpoint, this guy could have some potential athletically. But also there's a reason why he wasn't on an NFL roster. There's a reason why he's signing with the practice squad. So this is a little bit more of a, I'll call like a scratch-off lottery ticket. You know, you spend a couple bucks on it. If you hit big with it, fantastic. If you don't, nothing really lost here, right, from that standpoint. But again, if Darren Lee, if you look at it and say, hey, with his athleticism and can somewhat be a complementary piece if a Matt Milano's on a pitch count or depending on what's happening. And, you know, maybe he just needs to get in the right system. We've seen crazier things happen before. The other announcement that the Bills made today is signing a former Dallas Cowboy and Carolina Panther cornerback, Darryl Worley. Worley was released by the Cowboys earlier in the week, and here is a guy that has certainly struggled in his time with the Cowboys. Now, of course, I can already hear the eye rolls through through the speakers. You know, here's another guy that spent time with the Carolina Panthers under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. From that standpoint, right, when you look at it with some of the injuries, again, with Josh Norman and taking place, I mean, Worley can come in and again, a low-risk signing. The Bills made the release of Lafayette Pitts in a corresponding move. And, you know, here's someone that could come in and be a bit of a depth signing. We will have to see what this looks like, what type of impact that he can have. Again, certainly struggled in his time with the Cowboys. Sometimes you look at someone that has had success earlier in their career. And let's be honest, the Cowboys' defense has been atrocious so far this season. So everyone on the defense has been struggling. We have seen that piece. If he is to come in Buffalo and, you know, maybe has the opportunity to do something in the slot or has to do something, you know, filling in on the outside. Again, a low-risk signing for the Bills. Someone that they know can come in as part of Sean McDermott's defense and see what happens. So, you know, a couple of low-end signings for the Buffalo Bills. No fireworks coming at the trade deadline. I hope Buffalo Bills fans aren't too disappointed from that standpoint. And you know what? From that, you know, we look at things and say, okay, now you're going to host the Seattle Seahawks, one of the top offenses in the NFL on Sunday, and let's be ready to go. So anyway, I'm going to wrap things up, kind of an abbreviated podcast for you this week with no real activity taking place at the trade deadline, but I appreciate you guys always tuning in, listening to Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, and as always, go Bills.